You're listening to audio from the Church of Christ in Albany, Western Australia. If you'd like to know more about our church community, please head to coca.org.au. We trust that this week's sermon will be a blessing to you.
Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been working our way through the Lord's Prayer as it's recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel. We're calling the series On Earth as It Is in Heaven, because in that prayer, we've discovered that God's heavenly kingdom is alive on this earth. We've been learning that prayer, I talked about prayer as being that thin place between heaven and earth, where we have a unique role to be there between heaven and earth. And we have a very special place there in that place of prayer. And as we go through this series on the Lord's Prayer, we're asking five questions: who, why, what, how, and when. Who? We talked about praying to our Father God. We don't need to go through a middleman. We pray directly to the Father, and we can enter boldly into the presence of God himself. Why? We pray because God wants his kingdom to become evident on earth as it is in heaven. And that his will may be done on earth as in heaven. What do we pray? We pray that we may have our daily needs met so that we can become effective ambassadors and to be able to meet the needs of others around about us as well. And so today we come to the question of how. How do we pray? And the answer, quite simply, is we come to God the Father in a spirit of forgiveness. So the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples went like this. In Matthew, it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So today we're looking at the words, "and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Now, some of you may have remembered when you were kids at school, you used to pray the Lord's Prayer. Who used to pray the Lord's Prayer at school when you were children? There's a few around still. And I bet that when you prayed that prayer, you used to pray, "and forgive us our trespasses." And the first thing that came to my mind when that happened was that sign that said, trespasses will be prosecuted. I had really no idea what that word meant. And you probably asked the question, well, why do we have that word? Because if you look at many translations, you'll see the word debts or debtors. The word debts actually appeared in the first English translation of the Bible by John Wycliffe in 1395. The trespasses version appears in the 1526 translation by William Tyndale. And then in 1549, the first Book of Common Prayer in English used a version of the prayer which used the word trespasses. And that became the official version. So there are many churches today that still say the Lord's Prayer and they use the word trespasses. So that just gives you a bit of an idea of historically how that word has sort of come into our understanding. But if we go back to the original languages, we discover that the word debt is actually a better translation. It recognizes not just that we're in debt to God, but that in his death on the cross, he paid that debt and set us free. I used to work for someone whose attitude to running a business was to wait until the last minute to pay the bills. He was trying to fend off bankruptcy and thought if he waited till the last minute to pay the bills, that would be a good thing. And so every so often, somebody from the power authority, Western Power or whoever, would come to the counter at the front and say, "Can I see the manager? Because I'm going to turn off the power tomorrow." In which case, the manager would come out, write a check, and hand it to him. It was a matter of course. It happened every 3 months or so, because he figured that somehow he could delay the consequences as long as possible. Remember last week, we looked at the words of the prayer, "Give us today our daily bread." Today, it said. I think that says to us that this prayer was about something that needs to be done daily or regularly anyway. So the need to ask God for forgiveness for our sins on a daily basis, something that we do on a regular basis. Now, let's be honest, who saw this here and was thinking to themselves, yes, there's a few of you around, yeah, the cleaners left the vacuum cleaner out and, you know, and you were just itching to come up and take it away, weren't you? Yeah, I know that. We've got a very clean house. We clean it every day. The floor's washed and vacuumed every day. But every day you come to it and there's stuff in here. And just remember, it's a very clean house. Our floor was vacuumed yesterday. It was vacuumed the day before. It was vacuumed the day before that. But look at that. There's still dirt and rubbish in there. Yeah, I can't get back. I broke it. No, I didn't. It's still a mess. And that's the reality of our lives. You see, we live as citizens of the kingdom of God. And I'll put it there so I don't trip over it. We live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, but our feet are on the earth. And so our feet get dirty. So even if we go through life thinking, well, I'm pretty good. I've kind of, you know, I try to do the right things all the time. I seek to serve God. I do everything right. Yet every day we're in the world and we still get our feet dirty. There's still fluff and rubbish that we accumulate in our lives. Now, let me say this, that God expects us to be in the world. That's what he wants us to do. But he wants us to make sure that we keep ourselves clean in the process. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and we are on this earth. And because of that, we accumulate dirt as we go. But there's another thing that happens with sin and what happens in our world. When you drive on the road into the church here, you see lots and lots of beautiful yellow trees there. And it's the Sydney wattle, which doesn't belong here. It's an invasive thing that's a foreigner to this area. And it squeezes out the local native plants and wattles and so on. Looks beautiful, but it's not beautiful at all. It doesn't belong here. It's invasive. And the trouble is with sin, if we don't, you know, clean the floor every day, if we don't deal with it daily, it starts to grow. It starts to grow and it takes over. And that's what happens with the Sydney wattle. It begins to take over. And everywhere you go and you drive down the driveway into the church and they're all the way down, the education department has got a bit of work to do down there because the only thing you can do is to cut it right out. That's what happens with sin in our lives as well. We need to deal with our debts daily. Not wait until somebody comes and says, the power's going off tomorrow. But there's another aspect to this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now I find that wording really interesting. There's almost an assumption there that if I seek forgiveness from God, I will almost automatically be forgiving others as well. The two are linked together really closely. Both receiving God's forgiveness and offering forgiveness to others goes together. Well, what is forgiveness? Often there are difficult circumstances that we can't change. And that's one of the problems we often have with forgiveness. We look and we say, this has happened, I can't change this. And we can't change people. We can't change those other people who perhaps we feel have done something against us. There's only one thing that's actually within our control, and that's to change ourselves, to change the story that we're telling ourselves, if you like. Forgiveness is a decision to create a new story about what has happened, to release that other person from your personal judgment, that they're no longer in debt to you. The Greek word that's translated forgiveness or to forgive can also be translated to send away, to hurl away, or to release. Forgiveness is an act of release. It's an act of freedom. The Bible says the wages or consequences of sin is death. And God in his grace has provided the means by which we may be set free, the means by which that debt is completely paid for, not through anything that we've done, but simply through the grace of God himself. And Jesus came and died on the cross. He did that for us, that we might be set free. And he has released us. And because of God's grace in releasing us by paying our debt, it's a matter of course that we will now go and release other people from the things that we think that they owe us. This prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is a corporate prayer. It starts with the words, "Our Father." It's not just my Father, but our Father. It speaks about God's will being done on earth, not just at my place. We talked last week about give us today our daily bread. And so if that's the way the prayer starts, I believe that comes to this particular issue of forgiveness as well. We need to see this part of the prayer in the same way, that it's a corporate prayer. It's a prayer for the church. It's a prayer for a church that is spending time in prayer and fasting at this time. When Jesus was there on the cross, he looked out at the people who were putting him and others up on a cross, looked at the people sitting down, casting lots down at his feet, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's part of our role as a church, I believe, is to be able to pray for those people who can't pray for themselves or won't pray for themselves, to pray for forgiveness for our friends, to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for those people who we know and love, who we can look at them and we say, "Oh dear, I wish they weren't doing that." We can pray on their behalf. That's our role as a royal priesthood, to pray for forgiveness. We need to pray for our church. It's important that we do that because even the church as a corporate body is not without sin, and we need to do that. During this time of prayer and fasting, we are believing that God will show us his will. There may be times when we kind of think to ourselves, "I don't know what God's saying. I don't know if God is even saying something." And it's a bit hard for us to work that out at times. And there's probably three things that we need to be aware of when we're asking that question. Is God speaking to me or is he silent? And the first is that God may be saying, "Just wait a bit. It'll all happen in my time. You know, stop fussing. I've got this under control." Or you might be saying, "You're just not listening. We can't hear God because we're so busy telling him what he needs to do, or so busy with life and all the other things that need to happen. God is actually there. He actually wants to speak to us, but we're just not listening." But the third thing may be that we've allowed a blockage to come between us and God. There's sin in between us and God. And he desperately wants to talk to us, but we're not letting it happen. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And so as we come to God in a prayer of confession and ask him to forgive us, we also need to release each other from our judgment. As we experience the freedom of God having forgiven us, we need to release each other from our judgment. We may be angry with someone for something that they've done. It may be disappointment, maybe jealousy. We may be holding a grudge. There may be something, some way in which we're holding judgment over another person. You know, it's almost as if we are controlling their identity. "Oh, he's a negative person." Or, you know, "She's a controlling person." "Or they'll never listen to me." "Oh, they only ever think about themselves." These sort of things, we're actually creating an identity for them. We need to let go of that and release them from that. Forgiveness is releasing people from your judgment. To tell yourself a different story, well, not just that, allowing God to write on your heart and mind a different story about that person, a story of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. Peter was slowly catching on to the things that Jesus had to say. He kind of liked the idea of forgiveness. He thought that sounded like a pretty good thing. And he thinks to himself, well, somebody does something wrong to me. Yeah, I'll forgive them. Perhaps seven times. That's pretty generous, isn't it? And Jesus said, no, no, no. But what about 77 times? That really blew his mind. So Jesus told a story, as he often did. The kingdom of heaven, he said, can be compared to a landlord who's realized it's the end of the financial year, he needs to sort out his taxes before the tax man comes around, and he's going to bring in those people who owe him some money just to go through and check them all out. And so he looks through his books and brings them in by one, one by one. And somebody comes in, he discovers he's got a huge debt, he hasn't paid anything for a very long time, and he threatens to punish him if he uses pretty strong language in the terms of how the sort of punishment that they should have. And I believe that Jesus does that because he uses exaggeration in these things to really push home the point. And anyway, this man falls down on his knees and pleads to the landlord, oh, look, I'm really, really sorry. I'll pay you back. Promise, pretty please. Everything's going to be okay in the future. And so the landlord says, yeah, okay, rightio, I'll let you go this time. But Jesus, as he's telling the story, says, but this man who's just been forgiven a debt goes off, finds somebody else who owes him some money, just a little bit of money, and threatens him, says, I'll deal with you if you don't pay me. Well, the word gets back to the landlord, and he's pretty angry about all of this. And immediately he brought the man in and had him punished. And Jesus looked at those who were listening to his story, and he said, that's what my heavenly Father will do if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. I've got some homework for you again today. It's probably not stuff that you might want to write down. It may be stuff that you need to just think about carefully. I want to invite you to recall a debt that you owed God. Now, it's very easy when we pray to ask God for forgiveness for our sins in a very broad and general way. I want to ask you to think about, has there been something in your life where you felt trapped? You felt that that debt you owed to God has held you down, and yet you experienced God's forgiveness and you've experienced the freedom that comes from that? I just want to say, if that's happened, think about that, recall that time, and give thanks to God for that. That is a very, very special thing, to actually know and experience God's forgiveness and release. Then I want you to think about, on the other side of things, is there a debt you are holding over somebody else? And are you prepared to release them from that debt? Are you prepared to release them from your control over them? The fact that you are judging them, you're creating an identity for them because you aren't prepared to forgive. Are you prepared to deal with that today? Are you prepared to give them the gift of freedom? The question I asked at the beginning of the day is, how do we pray? We need to pray in a spirit of forgiveness. And next Sunday, we'll be looking at the question of when. I want us to conclude with a prayer, and I'll ask the musicians to come up. I kind of think that I think we might have a go at Cornerstone for the last one. Dan, if that's all right. Sorry for changing the plan bit. But as we pray, we need to pray for forgiveness. We need to pray for those things that, you know, the dirt that we just pick up every day. Fix this up, all those people who are worried about that. Think about the dust and grime that you have, that you pick up in your life every day. We need to ask God for forgiveness for that. We need to acknowledge that. Maybe you've got a Sydney wattle in your life, something that's just been growing and building up over a period of time, and it's just holding you back. And you're finding that you're struggling to hear God. You're struggling to do the things that you know you should do because that's just starting to take over. Now, this is probably fine in Sydney, but it's not fine here in WA. And there's a whole lot of things in life that may be really pretty. It may be okay in some circumstances, but they're not okay in the life of a person who is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You need to deal with that. We're going to, I'm going to pray and we'll sing and might just stay down the front here afterwards. And if you need to come for us to pray for you or just to acknowledge that you need to do something, I encourage you to do that today. But if it's about dealing with your relationship with another person, don't bother coming down the front. Just go and talk to that person. Go straight to them and do it today before you leave. Can we pray? Gracious God, I thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for that great gift of freedom that you have provided through the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. That the debt of sin has been completely paid for. I thank you for that. And Father, as we spend this time together, I want to pray for each person here today. I want to pray that you would forgive us our sins. Forgive us those things that we have said and done that we shouldn't have done. Those things that we have failed to do. You know what they are, and we all know what they are. And we want to bring them before you today. Father, forgive us our sins. But as we pray that, we also pray that we may be able to forgive one another. And I ask, dear Father, that you would help us in that. We thank you that forgiveness is a release. And I want to thank you for the freedom that comes through knowing that Christ has died for our sins and has released us and paid that debt. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to be able to offer that freedom to the people around us. Lord, I pray that this church may be filled with a spirit of freedom as we experience your love and grace just filling us for Jesus' sake. Amen.